True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Jeff Love, Barstool Sports, talking Browns, Ravens, and the many, many bits of smack talk we've seen this week. But we're back on Afternoon Drive. We've got plenty to get to here on a Football Friday. Blame for the Ravens coming up in about 20 minutes. And Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock tonight as well. More from you guys as well. I wouldn't have a problem if they talked smack about Lamar either. Like, I think if you feel disrespected and you want to try and psych yourself up a little bit more, they got to go out there on the field and do it. But, you know, if this is a, I think the more optimistic fan says, I think it's going to be a competitive game, but still a close loss because we don't expect to win. It'd be nice to win, but we don't expect to win. If this is a 3-point loss or a 4-point loss or it's a late touchdown that puts them ahead by 7 for the win,
yeah,
I'm not going to come out of this and be like, it was the smack talk, you shouldn't have done it. I'm going to say, wow, you played a more competitive game than people expected. I'm proud of you.
Definitely won't be the smack talk. The smack talk won't be the reason why. I do want to correct something just a little bit, though. I don't know who's putting out this notion that the Browns just dominate Derrick Henry. Relative to maybe other Derrick Henry lines, but the most recent time the Browns played Derrick Henry in the Ravens, he went for 138 and 2 touchdowns.
Well, but about the other times?
Averaging almost 7 yards a carry. Okay, fine. The other time last year, he averaged 6.6 yards a carry. Like, is the win because he only found the end zone once and didn't crack 100?
What about the times before?
Is that the win? Yeah, I mean, it's
You're not focusing on the times they were good against him, though. Sure. I'm noticing that.
Sure. Is that the big win? Is the idea that he didn't have 100 yards in a Tennessee game in 2020. Is that the win?
What a loser!
is that it? I'm so confused by that storyline or the narrative. I feel like we do this sometimes where we just like convince ourselves that we're and like it, sometimes it's truth, right? Like the Browns legitimately are awesome against Joe Burrow. That's a real storyline. You can talk about it until we're blue in the face for whatever reason. That's a great matchup. But Derrick Henry with the Ravens is not something that the Browns have just specifically owned.
So with this, obviously yesterday it was Derrick Henry talking about the Grant Delpit sound. Well, Kyle Hamilton, we're going all the way back to the Jerry Jeudy sound where, again, Jerry Jeudy was asked, you know, what difficulties does the Ravens secondary pose? And he said none, which was just the passing version of Grant Delpit's, how difficult is it to tackle Derrick Henry? Well, Kyle Hamilton, the stud safety and Notre Dame product for Baltimore, was asked about Jerry Jeudy's bulletin board material.
I mean, guys say whatever you're going to say. I really don't care. That's the thing with, like, bulletin board material that I never understood. It's like, was I not going to play hard before he said that? So it's like, I'm going to play the same way I was going to play. Like, if you need bulletin board material to go play how you need to play, then that's a problem on you. So,
all right, so I didn't hear the shot at Jerry Jeudy that I think a lot of people heard. I heard it was more of like a, yes, he was talking about Jerry Jeudy, but at the very end there, it kind of took it like that little last stab was more at I think he's more offended the idea that bulletin board material matters than he is what Jerry Jeudy said.
Yeah, that's my read on it too, which I think that's how a lot of fans actually do think, right? Like the idea that like if you have more talent than the other team, the talent's probably going to win out, and poking the bear isn't going to do much. I know we've talked before about the idea though, maybe at like the high school level it might do mm-hmm. something, because I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe just high school kids need to be more motivated. But at the pro level where you're making paychecks and nothing is guaranteed, probably playing pretty hard every week anyway.
So I will say, I think it matters at the college level. That's why coach, like rah-rah coaches, like the Matt Rhule Nebraska thing, we haven't played it on the air, but it, when Nebraska was up 33-0 at halftime last week,
yeah,
Matt Rhule came in and they're like, they came in here and they disrespected us. It's like, they're disrespecting themselves because they're bad.
Maybe at the college level, you're right. You're like, if I can get this guy to lock in instead of going to a sorority or something the night prior, or instead of getting just hammered and like really like, oh, I care about this game so much, I'm not going to get tanked the night prior. Okay, maybe.
But the only thing I would say is,
the pros, come on.
I don't think it matters fully. Like we always do the big deal, little deal, no deal. I do think it's a little deal, because I do think there are situations where it matters. And I can point it just simply of like, I want to see how fired up guys are when they play for Dan Campbell to play a specific sort of way than when you go out there and play for Freddie Kitchens. Like those are Freddie Kitchens maybe is not great. Mike McDaniel, who's just a total nerd and a stooge. Like you do see, like, find me the guy that isn't fired up to play for Dan Campbell. He won't play for Dan Campbell at all. Whereas in Miami, what do we deal with?
Right,
a lot of big name guys who maybe ebb and flow how hard they play.
But that's independent of trash talk, though.
No. But so my point was, it's clear that motivation does ebb and flow for professionals,
and that is part of being a coach, by the way, is finding and tapping into that motivation for certain players for reasons X, Y, and Z.
And when it comes to bulletin board material,
what clicks for certain guys?
I think when it matters the most is when you're evenly matched teams. Like you mentioned the Burrowhead thing, and how that impacted the Cincinnati and Kansas City little kerfuffle that they've had. I think that matters. When it's Baltimore versus Buffalo, I think smack talk does play a bigger factor in it. This is just a game where it's like, well, I don't think the Ravens think about you. I don't think the Ravens respect you. They don't view you as their equals. So I think you could come out and say, Lamar Jackson is the biggest scrub and Bill Polian was right. He should be a wide receiver.
And they just laugh at you.
And I think they'd be like, okay. And the only way you win on that, by the way, is if you actually win on Sunday. And then I think it stings after the fact.
Kyle Hamilton talks a lot of crap, by the way. Like,
yes,
he's very open to talking crap. But the reason why he didn't take the bait is because he didn't feel like he needed to. And in many ways, hate to put it this way, guys, I really do, but it almost feels like Kyle Hamilton thought he was like punching down if he took the bait.
And I think this is what's really interesting to me about, I think players are full of crap when they say it doesn't matter at all. And you know how I know?
Well, I do think he's got a good point, though. Like the idea, like, is he going to be any more motivated to take on the Browns this week? Probably not.
Do I think it might make a guy play through a play a little bit harder? Like he might look for shots? Yes. I do think it impacts these guys.
Well, now we're talking about if you want to play dirty or not.
I guess my point is, if it doesn't matter, then after you win, why do you flex on the crap that was talked to you? Because that is something.
Not everyone does.
Yeah, a fair amount of guys do,
I would
though.
Bet Derrick Henry, if Derrick Henry goes for 150 yards in this game, I bet afterwards the reporters will say something to the effect of, so did Grant Delpit, did he, how did that go? And he's not going to,
well, no, they he's never, not gonna do they never cop to that it bugged them, but they'll go back and could I see Derrick Henry on Sunday if they win, if he goes for 200 yards and they win by two touchdowns? Would it surprise me if Derrick Henry said, I'm just not that hard to break down or bring down? Yes. Which is then referencing that it did matter. If you're remembering it after the fact.
Yeah, I think that's what you think is the expectation. I don't think that's going to happen.
No. But I think my point is, like last night, like Micah Parsons has said everything right going into games.
Yeah.
When people started saying, thank you, Jerry, last night, Micah Parsons had himself a moment there. He did like that chant.
So, so this is where the fans coming into play, I think, is fun. And I thought it was funny last night. I thought that was enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked that moment for Micah, but that's not Micah doing it.
Well, no, but he could have easily, if it didn't bug him, if the Jerry thing didn't bug him, he could just go, all right, guys, come on now.
Please.
But no, I mean, I think players talk about it almost all the time. Like, especially because what they don't do is they don't come out and be like, yeah, that we beat their ass wholesale because of X, Y, and Z. But what they will do is they'll, whatever the nomenclature that was used, they'll reference it back after a win. I think that is players admitting on some level, you felt some sort of way on that, but players, it's almost like you're too cool for school. You don't want to admit that it pissed you off. You don't admit that it got under your craw. And also, you don't admit too often, because if you do and then you lose, people will have a problem with that, or people will say, oh, maybe it got in your head.
I mean, I just think the Ravens have been trash talking for years now, and I just think they're at the spot where we're just not at the level they are in their heads, and they just don't want to even bother with it.
I think one thing that I've learned is that across the bow, like just across sports in general, we believe what these guys say far too much. Coaches lie, ball players lie. And just because a player doesn't come out and say, I'm bugged by what was said, doesn't mean they're not bugged. And how that impacts the outcome of the game, I think that ebbs and flows. I think it's situational. I think it also depends if the team that spoke the crap is actually talking out their gluteus maximus, well, or whether they actually mean.
That's a big part of that. Like, if you're Derrick Henry, don't you just look at the comments and just be like, oh, okay. Like, yes, it's obviously it's hard to tackle me. I've got a mountain of proof of it being hard to tackle me.
Well, but if you listen to his answer yesterday, he was like, yeah, we'll see on Sunday. That's a little, like, that. Again, like, guys aren't going to come out and say, that hurt my feelings. That upset me. they really got my craw there. They're not going to say it up front. They very rarely say it up front. They tend to just kind of say it after the fact or give you clues
It'd be like if somebody came up to you and was like, you couldn't even do radio in Nebraska. And you're like, I'm on the air in Cleveland. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, that's kind of how that one struck me. I'm not doing radio against them. Like, I'm not battling that random listener that might
have that. No, but you would just tune it out because it just doesn't, it's not even, it's so far removed from the truth that it doesn't even really impact you.
I think we're removing the competitive angle of how prideful these guys, the money that's on the line, the career that's on the line, the at least in the Baltimore side of things, the Super Bowl aspirations that are on the line, not necessarily this weekend. I think players lie a lot about how this stuff doesn't matter to them. And I think we can even see a guy like Miles, where Miles has said with his face, oh, this thing doesn't bug me, this thing doesn't bug me. And then he talks long enough and you're like, oh, I think that thing totally bugs me.
I just think it's a long season. If you take the bait from every single player and every single person on a team that you take on, everything they say, you're gonna end up exhausted by the end of the year just battling everybody.
But I think it's interesting. Like, we know that Michael Jordan created some rumor about LeBradford Smith just so he could go out and drop like 60 points on LeBradford Smith. So we do that in the NBA, but in the NFL, it's like, they're all professionals. They don't care. That is right from team headquarters. That is just really great PR spin. These guys are just like you and me. They don't like to be called out. They don't like things to be said about them. I'm not saying that it's the end all be all, but the myth that it doesn't matter or that it doesn't individually get some guys going, I think it very much helps the player PR side of things of, oh, no, we're tougher. No, you're not. You're human beings. You would be human beings. If some other radio host talk crap about me, I'd go right back at him. I know, because I have. All right? Many times, and I'll probably do it again, despite the fact that I'm trying to evolve as a human being. I think it's very player friendly, and it's very...
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey,
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Player,
but would you do it every week though? Would you do it every week? And then if you had somebody go after you every single week, you'd start picking and choosing. You'd be like, all right, I guess I'll go after the Chicago radio host, or Detroit radio host. Let's do that. The Nebraska radio host. Like, I got a lot of weeks.
Man,
it's a long season.
Still might bug me though. 216-474-0092. Kyle Hamilton responds to the idea of bulletin board material. How much does trash talk actually matter? And is the NFL more to blame than the Ravens? That's in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive. We got the lead coming up in 40 minutes. It's a football Friday. It's an F-off Friday. I definitely just asked a 13-year-old if they had read the Grant Chernoff book on Ulysses S. Grant.
He
said he was really liked American history, and he said, I'm interested in Grant. And then I said, as if it would be a thing that a 13-year-old would do. Mind you, I'm a 39-year-old that has been reading this book for 3 years because it's the densest book in American history. Like it's like, I think it's like 800 pages, and it is the smallest font you can possibly find. I read 10 pages and then go think about life.
You don't sound like you're enjoying it as you're describing it.
Well, no. It's just a very tedious book. A lot of history is written like a lot of history books where you end up, there's just so much information in a small amount of text that you get let's say for a page of text in this history book or in a history biography.
Yeah.
You get those kind of details you're getting in like three chapters in like a nonfiction book.
Okay, so I just want to backtrack and make sure I have all the information correct, though. So it's a book about Ulysses S. Grant, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the 13-year-old said he liked Ulysses S. Grant a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
He should not be reading this book. This is not on him.
I'm not saying it's on him.
Okay.
But like, if I was reading an 800-page book that is as dense as you're describing it, wouldn't there be like 37 awesome factoids you'd just be wanting to like spit out at this kid?
That was the other thing, is that after I'd asked him,
how about
like,
the time Grant did this, like, and Grant did that,
pull
and Grant
one
did
of those
that,
back.
And did you know he did this, and did you know he did that, and then the kid thinks you're crazy.
And then I was like, he had those tumors, and that's why he covered his face.
What is your favorite Ulysses S. Grant factoid that after reading this 800-page book?
I have nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. In fairness, I've read 400 of them.
You've been reading it for 3 years.
Yeah, that's probably why.
What do you mean you have nothing?
Nothing that you don't already know.
I don't know a lot about Ulysses S. Grant.
He really wasn't that much of an alcoholic. No, I actually do think the fact that people don't realize what a failure he was in business and how much he hated that. Like, he failed as a businessman on so many fronts. And like, ended up being a huge Civil War figure, still didn't help him be financially solvent, which is why he wrote his own autobiography in his dying days to make sure that his family was solvent after he died.
So, like, I don't know. This might not be the Tony Robbins movement that you think it is, but maybe it'd be like, so if you ever fail, look to Grant. You can succeed.
I've been saying that word.
13-year-old, you can succeed.
And Cleveland Browns. Like, Ulysses S. Grant, financially, never really got it right. He's remembered as an American hero, not a good president.
Never got it right. Did he die broke?
No, because he sold his autobiography and that paid for like his funeral and paid off his back taxes. And then I think his wife was able to live out. Again, this is the part of the book I haven't finished.
Okay. No spoilers.
She was able to live out her life comfortably after that.
Well, that's nice to hear.
But I think a lot of that was because he also wasn't alive wasting their money.
Well, yeah. Well, you said he was an alcoholic, so. But who wasn't back in those days, right?
I mean, that was just a hobby.
Have you read an autobiography or just a regular biography on anyone from that period that was just like, so the guy never touched the stuff?
Never touched the stuff? No.
Very rare.
But was Abe Lincoln an alcoholic? I will say no.
There's a lot of stories about Lincoln.
Give me one.
Yeah. I'm not a biographer of Lincoln. I'm not a biographer of Lincoln, so I wouldn't be able to tell you those stories that have come out in very recent years about Lincoln's time and what we did or didn't know about Abe Lincoln.
Now, that being said, that was dirty pool. I will admit that was dirty pool on air, almost like you profiling me earlier saying that I was going to have double sprinkles.
I'm not going to have double sprinkles.
I would say that about anybody, for being fair.
Would you?
Double sprinkles?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Sprinkles are for winners. Who doesn't love double sprinkles?
I think
who looks at sprinkles and says, not today, sprinkles. I'll take one serving.
I think, listen, I'm not a man who's known for self-restraint. I have restraint when it comes to sprinkles. They get in the way of the ice cream.
Sure. See, the problem is the philosophy was always sprinkles are for champions. And so I always look at sprinkles as some sort of like you've accomplished it. You get the sprinkles when you do it.
So you've gaslighted yourself into needing more sprinkles?
When I achieve things in life, that's when I get the sprinkles and the ice cream. Normal day, I don't get sprinkles. So when I get sprinkles, it's a special day.
Baby girl number two is going to be born.
Oh, she's going to live by that motto,
and
too.
You're gonna, sprinkles you're gonna, are for you're champions. Tell the nurse. They'll be like, you know, Elise, do you need anything? And she'll be like, I could really use some ice chips. And you'll be like, I will take two scoops of your finest ice cream and double the sprinkles.
Sadly, I wouldn't have actually accomplished anything with that birth. But if my wife wants sprinkles, she gets double sprinkles.
I know, but you will have accomplished.
It's such a accomplishment, though. It's not really my accomplishment.
No, you're right. The accomplishment is...
I didn't really do anything. I always feel bad.
She didn't wring your neck out during the delivery. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I never really know. I know my role is to just kind of sit there and just be supportive.
And take the brunt of any punishment that comes up.
Yeah, that just, I mean, you know her. She's not going to have any punishment or anything like that. That's
This one could be different.
Why? Why would this one be different?
Depending on the method of birth, it's a different experience.
Don't you kind of know that that's already, you're getting that anyway? It just kind of is what it is. Like, aren't you already brace yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Brace yourself for the idea?
Like, I was very lucky. Vanessa had breathing problems with the first kid, so I got none of the, she gave me looks. She gave me looks like I'm going to murder you, but none of the vitriol came out.
Was it all like labor deliveries?
Oh, yeah. The first one. My oldest, yes. Yeah. Not the twins.
Not the twins. C-section. Okay. So you did do both. Yeah. We had a C-section the first one, and the second one might be, if it ends up being a natural, I'm expecting her to yell and scream at the top of her lungs. That's part of the deal. I didn't do anything, though.
My mother-in-law took a prime seat. She was on the other side of Vanessa, and she's like, Nick, you got to see this. And I'm like,
Your mother-in-law said this?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, I don't.
Like it's a movie? Like, I don't. Quite the view over
here. She was really blown away by it. She was a really powerful experience to watch her daughter deliver her granddaughter, which was powerful for me as I was near her shoulder.
Oh, no, I don't. I want no one. It's me and her and then the OB and everyone else that assists from the hospital standpoint. I don't want anyone else in the room.
I let Vanessa make that choice, and she wanted both of us there. And then my mother-in-law was like, come on, you got to see it. And I was like, I don't need to. Nope. No, I respectfully disagree.
I don't want to at least have like a cheering section over there to be like, you know what I mean?
It's like, I think it was more that she was just genuinely moved.
You bought
and
tickets
thought,
off SeatGeek for this? How did you get in here?
And thought I would be as well, and I was moved.
What do you mean you got the VIP lounge?
But at a less, I didn't need to be at a certain angle.
Okay.
All right, yeah. I was up by the shoulders.
No, and I don't want that certain angle either. If that's how that goes down, I don't want that.
And at one point, there was a mirror. Because Vanessa wanted to see, and then okay. All right.
Did I ever tell you what happened with the C-section? So obviously C-sections are they're quicker and they're much easier and everything's all good, right? So it's a half hour process and ordeal from the time I go in there and then the baby gets delivered and everything in between. But there was this guy that was working at the hospital and he's a listener of the station. And it's like, I'm trying to hold Elise's hand. She's shivering a little bit because they do different, you know, it's where she was. And the guy wanted to talk about the Browns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not the time, man. Like, I'm not doing that. If she goes through a C-section and someone wants to have like a Shador conversation or something like that.
Oh, this one you wouldn't be able to.
It'll be the only time in my life I'll just say no thank you to a Shador conversation. I'll be like, no.
Boom!
Yeah, I'll be like,
he
no.
Should be running scout team. You're doing great, Elise.
Yeah, the guy's like.
Seriously, they're disrespecting him.
The guy's like, so you really thought Shador was going to be good, huh? And I'm like, not now, guy. Not now.
But yeah, I still do.
I still maintain some hope.
I think I've told you this story before. I'm not going to surprise anyone. I was not a small baby.
How big were you?
I think it was like 9. So I was born a month early. I think it was like 9 pounds.
At a month early?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, it's huge.
Meanwhile, my older brother David was like like 5 ounces heavier than me, and he was a month late.
Oh, a month late.
Yeah, he was.
They don't even do that anymore.
Yeah, they do not.
No, not at all.
They did. It was called the 70s. But I'm being born, and the OB... is like yelling to my mom, You should see the shoulders on this kid. You've got a football player. And legend has it, my mom, who had already thrown my biological father out of the delivery room and apparently divorced him on the spot.
Oh, wow.
So she was in no mood that day, all right? She leaned forward, grabbed him by the tie, pulled him close, and said, "Will you shut?" You can finish the sentence
from
there.
To the OB she did this?
To the OB, who promptly said, "Yes, ma'am." Oh. And then very quietly delivered me. And yeah. So if you'd ever like to know why Nick Wilson is the way he was, that was the day that I was born.
And the guy was wrong after all these years too.
He's right about the shoulders though.
Yeah, but you're not a football player. That's tough.
Like, yeah, he didn't time me at a 40 when I was being born.
I mean, he just thought. I mean, you know how many babies they deliver in a year? I mean, OBs have seen it. They've seen it all to be impressed in the moment.
I think that's more on the OB. I think he put so much pressure on me as I was being born into the world. I just am naturally a rebel. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Elise asked me to put together a playlist.
Uh-huh.
And the problem with this is I don't even know if they let you really do that. What type of playlist am I even supposed to make for this type of ordeal? I'm not really sure. But then I'm supposed to go to the OB and I'm supposed to present this playlist and be like, this is what she'd like to listen to.
No.
I don't even think that's acceptable.
No.
I'm not going to play it from my phone.
You don't go ask for permission.
They have like when for the first one, there was music playing and it was over everything. And how am I going to get the setup if I don't ask for permission?
One, get a JBL speaker, a very, very durable, about $129 right now on the internet.
She wanted it from the big speaker. Okay, she wanted it from the overhead.
But you need that as a backup because you go there and say, one way or another, we're listening to Enya. All right?
So, That's not making my baby playlist.
What is it? Genuine's Pony?
I don't know. I was hoping for advice. I don't know. I don't know what you put on a baby playlist. I don't know if you go... Like it's not the baby making music that we have to get the baby. I don't know what we do in this scenario.
Well, maybe that make the baby feel more comfortable.
Is there like a baby
themed
playlist?
The last time they heard this was a very joyous occasion.
And then also think about that. The baby's then entering the world to like if she wanted like a K-pop band or something like that. You think the baby's going to enter the world to K-pop?
I see no problems. I mean, you're a Taylor Swift fan. She's a Taylor Swift. Put a little Taylor Swift on. Maybe videotape that. And
I'm going to overthink this one, aren't I?
I think you are. I think you already have. But I think, you have to go there and be like, listen, I have a speaker. And I'm either going to play the hits on this or we're going to play it on the bat. Because if you just leave it up to them, I mean.
I don't know about like threatening them, though. I don't know if that goes well.
No, it's not a threat.
They still have to deliver the baby and everything.
It's a demand.
Right? Yeah, Mac, you heard it that way too, right? Like, I mean, it's either this way or this way. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
That's how this, what are they going to do, not deliver your child? No, you're
They might
say,
kick me out. That's on
very,
the table.
They've dealt with some very abusive, angry parents. It's a stressful day. If you say, listen, we're either going to need to put this over the loudspeaker here in the room, or I'm going to have to turn on the speaker. They're going to be like, this dude's under stress and this is a missive from his wife. He's got to do this. I think they're more understanding than you realize. Again, it's not in a threat. It's a demand. It's totally different.
What would be the funniest song for me to play, that is just thrown right in there so that we can just time this out perfectly. So that's the first thing the baby hears.
I'll definitely go back to Genuine and Pony.
All right. It's on the list now. Yeah. I'm going to put it in the list.
Yeah.
It's going to be a random part of the list. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So it's going to be all songs she likes and then Genuine's Pony will play at some point. And it's solely just to see what her reaction is.
Yep.
And then if it times out to that being the first thing the baby hears, I'll just laugh.
Listen. No, you won't.
No, I will.
That's when she will snap.
Hey, that's double sprinkles for her, though. We'll get it. We'll make sure she's taken care of.
Honey, you can't be mad about the Genuine
I don't know what happened.
Here's double sprinkles. And
OB is going to stop and just be like, what happened here? How did we get here?
Magic. 216-474-0092. What should go on the Peter Lynn's, I almost said pediatric, delivery playlist? I definitely think it's got to be something smooth. Was something real smooth.
Yeah.
Something I just turn to the OB, lock into a rhythm.
I give a wink and say, this is how we got here.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to go over.
Maybe finger guns.
Yeah, always finger guns. Always. Hey, let's talk about Shador.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Blaming the NFL as much as we do the Ravens, that's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. All right, we have a couple quick submissions here. We're not going to do the full segment on this.
Okay.
But I Googled this. One, I thought the funniest one would be Mbop. That's just an annoying song. It's very similar. During delivery,
just an annoying song. Okay.
One of the AI suggestions is 500 Miles by the Proclaimers.
Oh, no, no, no.
Somebody's trying to get murked there. All right. Early labor. Orinco Flow by Enya. So there is Enya.
Okay.
Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley. Breathe by Ariana Grande. And Easy Like a Sunday Morning. Oh, Richie. You'll get killed for that.
I do like that song, though.
It's a great song. It's just like for that. Early labor. All right. Active labor.
Yeah.
Girls Run the World. Beyonce.
Oh, that's like a let's just pump them up,
yes,
type thing. Okay.
Push It by Salt and Pepper.
So I thought that was really funny. All I think that one's going to find its way in.
All right. All of Me by John Legend. John Legend.
Don't know what's going on there.
Fighter by Christina Aguilera. Delivery, 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. Born This Way, Lady Gaga. Sweet Child of Mine, GNR. We Belong Together, Mariah Carey. And Happy by Pharrell Williams.
I do like that song.
Pharrell. And then Post Labor.
Just kind of a fun upbeat song.
Perfect by Ed Sheeran. Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Wait, we're doing post?
Post Labor.
We're doing post playlist,
yeah,
too?
You don't just stop when the baby's born.
I figured I would do what I did for Charlotte and just immediately turn on Ken and Anthony.
You mean the Hen Carmen Show?
Yeah, just immediately turn them on and say, this is your life.
Yeah.
Welcome to my existence now. Right, you listen to sports talk radio the way I do.
Grade this take as they misappropriate what we said.
I said, ooh. Oh, we got a new Skip Bayless on our hands. Congratulations.
And then finally, Wonderwall by Oasis.
Oof. Yeah, this is the second time this week that you've turned that song. You're not a fan of that song, I can tell.
It's the most overplayed song in history. It's not even one of the three best songs they have. It's a fine song, all right?
It would probably make you mad to know that that's probably the only Oasis song that I could really just tell you off the top of my head.
I bet you if I played a few,
I do like it. Oh, no, I'm sure I would. I immediately think Wonderwall, and I go from there, and that's it.
You know why? Because you've been incepted with it.
It's the only one that's played. It's the only one that's played.
Also, Adam saying, Bop will be stuck in my head all day now. That is you could really use this to like kind of harass Elise. You wouldn't want to do this, of course.
No.
You could really do this to, she could just be trying to push, and all of a sudden it's Mbop or the Proclaimers or Video Killed the Radio Star. Something just so infectious that it really infuriates her. Could help her deliver the baby, though.
Yeah, getting mad is a good thing there, right?
Yes.
Depending which type of delivery.
Double-edged sword.
C-section doesn't really matter in that way, but if it's a labor delivery, then yeah, getting mad might actually help.
So we've talked a lot about the Ravens' audacity to go ahead and have the 30th anniversary celebration on Sunday. And I know the Ravens continue to say, specific to this, hey, you know, we We've been planning this since before the schedule got released.
And we've spent far more time on this than the actual celebration will be by a lot.
Correct. By a wide mile.
Like Baskin, next time you want to bring this stuff to the table, maybe do it on Thursday.
Oh, you don't. You feel like this is too much. 4 days of this is too much.
Yeah, I think 4 days of this might be a little too much.
So you wanted to add some context here.
Yes, we have new news on this. So because it's been going on for so many days now, and people continue to be irate by it, Mary Kay reached out to the Ravens and tried to get a statement on why this happened, why how intentional it was, everything else in the mix, and basically the Ravens are now claiming that they came up with this whole celebration and the plan and the week and everything in March, and this is in fact not the Ravens' fault. This is the NFL schedule makers and the NFL that you need to be yelling at.
This is, I do think, the beauty of the NFL is that when they do not want to accept responsibility for something, and when I say that, I'm not talking about everybody in the NFL, there's always somebody different to blame. And there is no league on the planet that does pass the buck better than it.
Well, I mean, just speaking on that, kind of like what happened with Lamar Jackson and the lack of a penalty for shoving a fan.
100%. No. The Ravens
took care of this. On the Ravens.
I'll trust them.
All right, sure.
They're going to be thinking about this one for a minute.
We got a more situation with Michigan. It's like, he'll self-impose, and so then that'll be the fine. Okay.
But it actually kind of harkens back to the actual 30-year thing altogether. Which is like, I know Mary Kay, or sorry, I know Daryl today tweeted out that, you know, the NFL has never been on the side of Cleveland. They're the one that that basically made it damn impossible for Cleveland to be competitive early in a way they didn't do that for the Panthers or the Jaguars with how the expansion draft was set up and how free agency was set up. 30 years ago, the NFL wasn't looking out for Cleveland. Art Modell wasn't looking out for Cleveland. And quite frankly, neither was Al Lerner. Now, the Ravens could have changed this. The NFL could have changed this. This is a lot of something that was entirely avoidable that could have been handled in a much classier way. So instead of being like, well, I'm no longer blaming the Ravens, now I'm blaming the NFL. No, there's enough blame on this boat for two parties.
There should be somebody at the NFL, and yes, there is enough blame for both, but there should be somebody at the NFL where their sole job should be, does this seem like there's a conflict here? Does it seem like this is just going to make people unnecessarily mad? I tend to think that job, they should probably, if you're at the NFL offices, they probably highlight all these things and then swerve into it, if we're being honest about it. They're like, all right, this will get people mad. People in Cleveland will talk about this. They will be irate. But there should be somebody in charge of the checks and balances attached to this.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But I still come back to, I had a TikTok on this after Chris Canty said some just troll stuff.
What did Chris Canty say?
He basically said, dance on the grave of Cleveland. I'm paraphrasing it slightly. And my response was, I guess I'm not going to be mad anymore because you've just told on yourself. Like when former Ravens say this stuff, when our guy Rob Long, who I really do like, so he's not the target of my vitriol here. But when Rob comes on and goes, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Why would I? Right? When everybody in town goes, even if it wasn't intentional, yeah, I have no problem with it. At some point, you're just low rent. At some point, you just lack class. And at that point, it becomes less about me and it becomes less about Cleveland. Like, if this is just a trash-ass city and a trash franchise and trash fans and trash ex-players, all of a sudden, it doesn't feel personal. It feels like they just have no class. And I am freed from it on some level.
Yeah, it's like the line. It's just kind of like for social media trolls, but the idea that like I don't really care what you boo when I see what you cheer.
Yes,
it's on that same line of thinking. Like if I believe that you're just maybe not on the up and up as always to begin with anyway, then what do I care what you're doing here anyway?
And I continue to come back to the idea that Baltimore would have any rub against Cleveland is hilarious. They have no leg to stand on. And I think that's truly what this is. They realize they're the heels. And instead of accepting what they did was crap, instead of admitting that they were massive hypocrites, instead of taking any responsibility as an organization to say, we knew what we were doing, we knew it was the Browns, maybe we didn't realize how mad people would get with this, how sensitive this still might be.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, no, bleep you. Or, no, somebody else's fault.
Now, that's who you are. That's who you are.
I mean, it's rare when you have like Jerry Jones, for instance, in the Dallas documentary that we watched. You know, when he starts off the documentary, basically talking about how he was broke, and then he basically was just a great con man into getting the amount of money that he needed to then be able to buy the Cowboys and then go off from there. Most people bury those type of stories. Most people don't go back to those and look at them in some sort of heroic way. And what's interesting about this is that the Ravens should be burying how they just flat out stole a team, and instead they're kind of doing the Jerry Jones here. Of like, well, hey, wasn't that really impressive how like I just conned everyone here and how we got this? And it's like, I don't know that this is hitting the way you think it is.
The Ravens have told Mary Kay Cabot this can't possibly be their fault, celebrating the 30th year anniversary on Sunday against the Browns, because they had planned this before the schedule was announced. I really just am not going to give you any quarter on this. This could have been avoided. The schedules were announced in March. Oh, sorry. And then the full schedules were released in May. There's plenty of time to change plans. It happens all the time. The Lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan for my friends over there at Bookman & Son Fine Jewelry, 8803 Brecksville Road.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.